then RT will be back. He and I are going to do the Dr. T and Enforcer dance for the next few weeks. So he'll be back for 17 and 18, which is going to talk a lot about, well, you're going to have the seven bowls today. So the last of the judgments you see poured out, and you're going to see a lot about Antichrist involvement and different things. Then we're going to get through 19. I'll do 19, he'll do 20, and then on the last day we'll do 21 and 22 together with question and answer time. Okay? That's where we're going here. And, yeah, should be really good. 15, 1 and 2. Revelation is not chronological. Sometimes they jump forward and jump back to show things, just so you know. Just so you know. Sean, 1 and 2, chapter 15.
Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. When I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands.
Yeah, this is a... Some people have broken down Revelation into like scenes, like drama scenes. This scene closes, this scene opens up. There's a little bit of debate. This is one of those ones in your Bible. It's probably better that chapter 15 started at 5 than right here. Verses 1 through 2 and then 2 through 4 are kind of like a prequel of the previous scene dropping. So what RT talked to you about last time, and the beasts and the different things rising up. This is kind of ending and then a prequel. You know how the end of movies where they give you a what's next? So the end of The Hobbit, Bilbo goes back and he's going back to the Shire, and the other one will open up with Bilbo answering the door. So it closes with that and then opens up. This is similar, that it's ending that scene but prequel what's coming. Seven angels, seven plagues. A complete number there. The sea of glass mingled with fire. You've seen the scene of glass previously, all the way back in chapter 4. Mingled with fire probably doesn't have any other importance, rather than it's like the beautiful kind of scene. You know, sometimes as jewels look like they sparkle, things can be looking like they're on fire. And those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass. These are tribulation martyrs, people who have died for their faith under the Antichrist, seen as conquerors. And they're going to sing something that, let's go back to, I think it's Deuteronomy 32. Okay, let's go backwards. That keep your finger in Revelation, go back to Deuteronomy 32. All the way back. Deuteronomos, the second law. Moses was going to give it to him a second time. He's about to die. And there is something that is sung here. Okay, the song of Moses. Okay. And they sing in verse, I'm still back in Revelation as you're getting there. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb saying these things. And what you see is pieces of this song taken, which is an interesting connection back to the Old Testament. Exodus 15 is a big part of this in symbolic language here in Revelation. God freeing his people, delivering his people, bringing those kind of things. Look at that song in 32. Is that a short or long song?
It's long.
Okay, and in verse 44, Moses came and recited all the words of this song, hearing the people, and he and Joshua the son of Nun. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, "Take heart, all the words which I'm warning you today, that you may command them to your children. Careful to do all the words of this law, for it's no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over to Jordan to prosper." So you see this Exodus, wilderness, into the promised land thing. The tribulation has imagery to that. There's persecution. These martyrs are delivered. Ultimately, what's coming in eternity with Jesus will be here. There's to look back through that, you can find little nuances here in Revelation that bring that out. But if you wanted cross references for 15, Exodus 15 and Deuteronomy 32, which still at the end of the book is inexplicably connecting the Old Testament to the end of time. There's no doubt. It's crystal clear with what is even coming out of the text here that it's going all the way back.
In our outline, 15 is in a section called Earth.
Heaven. Right? Is it heaven 4 and 5 and then Earth all the way through?
Yeah.
6 through 20 is Earth. I thought about that too. That's a good question. I think 15 and 16 get those glimpses and signs of what is, it comes down right after this. So it could be I'm on the earth looking up and it's coming down, or it could be a snapshot into there. Let me make a note of that. And just, if we have to put an asterisk in our chart, that's all it'll be, if you want to explain that. But you see the Song of Moses. Somebody read that song. And, well, Kendall, why don't you sing it for us? Just kidding. read the song there for us. Yeah, verses, not in Deuteronomy 32. Let's get back to Revelation. You're welcome. You're about to stretch out right there. Let's go. Back to 15. Or your righteous acts have been revealed. Okay, so this is something they're singing at the end of time. I think Rick's illustration was spot on with the Super Bowl and just seeing games and then going, but that's not the Super Bowl. This is the culmination and the end of history. The culmination of wrath poured out and the end of history, especially in 16 when you're going to see those things poured out. And the people that are singing this are saying, they're just ascribing worth to him and saying he's come and done this. Five here. Dan, why don't you read 5 and 6?
After these things, I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes.
Okay. Here come these messengers that have been workers to deliver those different things. And one of the four living creatures gave to the angels seven golden bowls full of wrath. What do you do with stuff in a bowl when you're done with it? Dump it out. So that imagery should be there for you. The bowl was most likely connected to the bowl of incense in the Old Testament in the temple, where the aroma would go up like prayers. But now you see it, a gold bowl that's going to get poured out and all heck's going to break loose. Smoke is the presence of God there in verse 8, the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. No one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Now, the other thing you see, what does your Bible call it, Dan, in verse 5? The sanctuary of the
tabernacle of testimony.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have something different?
Tent of witness.
Tent of witness. Sanctuary of the what? Danielle?
Tent of witness.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because it's the phraseology in the Greek language, especially connects it to the tabernacle. So back in the wilderness again, that time when there was no temple, when God said, it's going to look like this. So set up this here, and tribes here, and tribes there, and Levites were responsible for doing it. And here's where you're going to put this and that. There's a connection there of something that appears to be like that in heaven. So the dwelling place of God. Is there another tabernacle? No, we see a different kind of temple in the millennium that's not a tabernacle. Though from the very beginning, tabernacle and temple were all patterns of heaven. There's a lot of good research out there that says the way those set up are patterns for how heaven is set up in some ways. So, which is interesting that heaven come down to earth there in the form of the tabernacle, then manifested in the temple. David and Solomon inherit the future temple of the Millennium Kingdom, and then heaven itself with Jesus. Okay, so that tent of witness should just connect you back to the tabernacle. Chapter 15 is pretty easy. It's finishing one, prequel the other, and here come seven angels with seven bowls. And it's about to get dirty right here. Okay, this is bad. Megal is a word in Greek that shows up a lot here in chapter 16. It is it's different than most anywhere else in your New Testament, and it's really associated with intensity and breadth. That you're supposed to feel that in the language itself, which is one of the strong reasons we articulate in this that the seven things always get faster and heavier and more intense through this. The judgments just pour up because this word shows up and it's, I heard a loud voice. So that has this just, oh, here it comes again. It's rising up. The other thing I want you to know, where did that go? Was that? This will be a good, Meagles, M-E-A-G-L-E-S. Let's see if that, I spelled it right for you. It's written in pen. Spelling is not, it's a verbal test, so spelling doesn't matter. It has intensity and speed associated with it. Now, let's pause here and just give you a little test help, okay? For our model, we're gonna have something that you'll need to be responsible for. Go back to chapter 6. Seals. Okay, there's seven of them. And then we're going to have trumpets in 8 and 9. And then here in 15, we're going to have bowls. Now, you got to remember this. So if it all goes together, you have... how did I draw it? I forgot how I drew it.
It's like the corner top right.
Comes down like
yeah.
That?
So
your seals, six of them, the seventh one becomes the trumpets, okay? And then the seventh one becomes the bowls. That's not how I drew it earlier, but you get the idea. So the seventh one is always the collective sum of the other. And if you can articulate with your words, that'll be good enough. Now here, this is different than articulating that. You'll see at the end of each of them. But seals poured out, as the seventh seal opened, it's seven trumpets. As the seventh trumpet is blown, seven bowls coming ready to pour out. So the seventh one is a collection of the rest, which scales down to these are, and they all get worse. That's the thing. They all get worse. They increase in intensity. Okay. Volume. Breadth. Okay, these are not words you have to remember, but just getting the idea that you're going to see early on things like, oh, a third of this was destroyed. Here in the bowls, it's holistic. It's all the earth and all these different things, all the water, all the oceans, all the streams. But in chapter 6, what are they? What are the seals? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In Revelation.
White horse.
Huh? Who is that? Antichrist. Okay, what's the next one? What's the other? Remember our four horsemen of the apocalypse? No, it's not a Notre Dame football team. Which is? War. This guy's going to bring war. What was the next one? This one even tells you what it is. Huh? Famine? Black horse is death, right? What's the third one?
Famine.
Then you have death, right? How much of the population? A lot of people. When we did the billions, I think Rick did that, the billions, how many it would be? Five? Five? Huh? Martyrs? People are going to go out? Does anybody know what the word imprecations is? What's your Bible say, Jeremiah? The fifth seal.
You said martyrs?
Mm-hmm. How about the last one? Or six, sorry, it's not the last one. A great and mighty what?
Earthquake.
Earthquake. Okay, and then this is going to be what?
Trumpets.
Okay, so chapters 8 and 9, trumpets. Work through those. Number one.
Hail and fire and whistling.
Let's call that something simple, a storm.
A lot of meteorological things happen there, but we'll call that a storm, which is going to be different than the next one. Number two. It's my trumpet.
Oh, an out on fire.
What was that?
What? Maybe animals die in the sea.
I think Scott got it. What was it, Scott?
Hail and fire.
Yeah. Meteor.
Oh, is this the meteor one?
Meteor.
Okay. Meteor.
Now, these are, I'm trying to give you a simple chart. Obviously, hail and fire being thrown down from heaven, you're going to see there's a lot more color to it. But this is going to help you put those together. Okay? Number three.
Bitter water.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
This word off. The meteor.
Three?
Three.
Meteor's not
the
meteor, two?
The meteor caused the bitter water.
The mountain in the sea is
fresh water. Is the wormwood star made the fresh water bitter? Is verse 10 to 11.
Is wormwood star not the number three? Yeah, so bitterness. Bitterness water. The water's what's affected there too. And you're saying wormwood's the meteor? Is that what is that?
Third angel sounded a great star fell from heaven.
Blazing like a torch and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is wormwood. A third of the water became wormwood. And many people died from the water because it was made bitter.
Rick said that star.
Yeah. Yeah. The revel is that one have it? Does that have all of them on there?
It does, yeah.
Oh, nice. Bring that up here. Let's get it right the first day if we need to make adjustments. I didn't know I put that on there. Yeah, here. Good.
So if we need to adjust these. I'll give this back to you.
Okay.
sea. Okay, so this is, we can say the sea. We'll say the storm affects the vegetation. So either of these are going to work. Okay, you can just talk about it. Bitterness of the water.
Yeah, and yeah. Say how would you put these together? What's the one, two, three? You're looking at it. You're like, that's this. What they're looking for is when you don't just read them chapter 8 and 9 and go, it's this. It means
a lot of the food in the world is done. The seas are jacked, which makes travel weird. The water's now an issue, and that's what they are. So they're looking for you to see what it says and what it means. This person is going to start a war that's going to have famine everywhere. It's going to bring a lot of death, martyrs, and then there's an earthquake. Even one we're going to see later that the world has never seen.
That's what the Bible's going to say in 16, an earthquake they've never seen. And so you're able to talk about this. And sure, I could read you the four horse and the pale horse. Is this going to be a difficult part of the test? No. Do
do you probably need to know this, this, and this as quick reference points?
So you're not just like, okay.
Are the bowls 15 or 16?
16. I was in 15 and 6 today, so it was on the first floor. 16. All right, number 4. Trumpets. Fort. Yeah. Let's go all Super Mario. Luminaries.
Is what it says on your chart. Does it say, do you guys see a trend in 1 through 4 trumpets about the amount?
One third. Okay, one third.
All of them.
Third of the vegetation, third of the sea, third of the water. And you're going to see in 16, all of it. Okay. How about number 5? How would you describe that?
Demonic activity.
Yep.
Quit reading the chart.
What?
Demonic activity, okay? And then you're going to see in 6, a third of mankind. That should be right here. Okay? Third of mankind. And then what is the 7th trumpet? Good. And then look at these. We'll get to... Those are word for word off of your deal. The only difference here in your chart and what I put right here is it talks about horses in your chart. White horse, red horse, pale horse, black horse. So when you see those in your test, you'll know what we're talking about. Okay, now back to Revelation 16. From the temple, telling somebody to go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of the wrath of God. Some people ask the question, how much time is going on here? We don't know exactly, but knowing what's coming here towards the end of the book, you got to think it's just a shortened time. I think it's a shortened time. And I think you are in our model towards the end of that 7-year period. And it's as if... you guys ever had to make your bed on the weekend after your sheets get washed and all that stuff, and you come back and you, whoosh, right, and you let a crumpled up sheet out of the dryer float and then smooth out on the mattresses? It's as if with creation, that's just the whole, like a bed sheet, whoosh, just getting flattened out, as if everything, including creation, people are going to bow, and just it's all going to be leveled and come down. And literally destroying that which is going to be rebuilt and made new. That's kind of the imagery. See, we think of these things in like specific moments in time, but when you see the holistic nature of all this, especially these 7 bowls all over the earth, it says it's everywhere. Everybody is not going to have an excuse. Which, I mean, okay, let's just go back to a first few of these. I'm ready to understand that I can read the book and go, this is good. There are still people who are going to push against Christianity and identify with this person who's in charge of a 10-nation deal, and there's probably all kinds of wonderful scientific explanations at this point for all these things happening. There are still going to be people against it, which is mind-blowing to me. Okay, and we'll go to the first one. Let's do one angel at a time, talking about judgment. Wayne, how about the first angel, verse 2? It's not like you got a scratch, you know, a little scab. This is open, painful, multiple body-covering sores. What it is exactly, we don't know. Leprosy in some of its forms. There are some diseases out there that eat you from the inside out. So your body just, someone you know in the hospital and it's been a tragic scene, or a grandparent in the bed for a long time and they get bed sores where they just lay on one side for a long time, pretty soon that part of the body doesn't get blood flow and so it just becomes gnarly. You see this over all the people who don't have protection.
who have protection. So there's going to be people still here who are tribulation saints, still not yet martyred, that are not going to have these things, and they're going to see it and have interaction probably, which is crazy. So you see, sores is the first one. Julie, verse 3. Yeah, that you see no longer specific measurements. There's holistic language now. The sea. So all over, the sea is done, and every living thing that died that was in the sea. What does that create in the ocean and travel and on the beaches? And yeah, can you just, like, I'm a big smeller. Like, I don't like. I have a strong sniffer, and I can smell things that are rotten. Oh, imagine that all over the earth like that. Everything just bleh, whales and things decaying and ugh.
Isn't this kind of like the same place that you see in Exodus?
There are some similarities. That connection back, you see deliverance, but these are much worse.
Right.
Those are targeted towards a people and limited. These are permanent now here in 16 and everywhere. So you see, it's like a type. You ever heard that in scripture? There's a type of something, or you see a little picture and then all of a sudden you can see it for its bigger, more robust. Adam, Jesus was a type of Adam. Adam's first in creation, pretty cool dude, had a lot. And you see Jesus, who's the first Adam, scripture says, and you're like, oh, I see now, bigger and fuller and more. That's what you should think when you see these things. It's like, oh yeah, Exodus deliverance and God protecting his people, taking them out, bringing out his wrath. Oh, now all of mankind, all of world. Okay, I get it. There's an expansion there, okay? So that one is,
we'll say all. All, see? And the reason we're going to put those on there is for those limitations. At times it was targeted. Now it's everything over the earth.
Ozzy, verse 4. This is the part of Revelation in your devotional reading where it doesn't feel happy. And this is the part in your study of the attributes of God and understanding theology proper, that this is real. Part of God's nature is to be holy, and he will not compromise on that. It doesn't make him a mean dad. It doesn't make him an abusive parent. It makes him a holy, almighty God who should invoke fear in us. And as if this what comes for all of mankind, for all of time right now, and we are on this side of it, what does that do in you? I want you to have a chart. I want you to understand how these things flow and be able to see the model we teach to. If this book doesn't make you fearful, we are missing it. I mean, that's not even just like, oh, he can do that thing. That's the angel saying, this is what the people deserve. And heaven answering, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. You think a world wants to hear that? This is the part of Revelation nobody likes to preach through. Be encouraged, people. God will squash you and me, and he'll do what he needs to do. I just want to raise that up. As I was reading through this, there was part of me that was just like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like this. I'd rather it be everyone gets a unicorn and it's happy forever. That's just not who he is. Okay? That's not who he is. And he's bringing about the wrath which was due for everyone, all of mankind. But even that you saw there's people protected in it, it shows his grace in the same chapter. So if you have people come here and they're angry and abused and worried or whatever, and they're talking about how mean God is, just be like, oh man, but look what he did for people. He protected. There's people he protected too. That shows a bit of who he is. And he didn't have to protect anyone. That's the question you need to ask in apologetics when people are like, Why does God do that? Like when they get to the mean bully kind of God who just smotes, what they really don't see is that if he saves just one person, all of mankind, all of his creation is due his praise. If he saves one person, you're right. He has the right to do whatever he wants. He can burn the whole thing up and just destroy us all. But if he saves one person, which he has and did, he's worthy of adoration. And that those, I just, as a pastor, I'm just telling you, those just live in tension. And I've seen people be in hyper states of both. So it's, everybody gets in. It's all great. He's loving. All roads lead there. It's fine. We're just figuring it out. We really don't know. And they change their interpretation. And I've seen grumpy people just about wrath and judgment. And all it is about wrath and judgment, wrath and judgment, wrath and judgment. Usually because they're so mad at themselves for what they did. They're now projecting and proclaiming it to other people. And just they stay in that camp. Which, yes, he's like that. But he's also loving. And if we're called to be like him, we have a strong message for people about the end of time. And what happens? Luke 12, you know, you don't fear him who brings death. You fear him who's able to cast you into the eternal fire after death. That's what we're raising here. Just a point there is, you see this little one in the third bowl here have a little note of almost like a, you get a glimpse for what's happening on the sideline with the players. You know, as this guy is leading the charge to just destroy, people are like, yep, that's what they deserve, and you are just and true in your judgments. So, fourth angel, verse 8, Jessica. Yeah, I mean, you're seeing everything that civilizations are dependent on, agriculturally speaking, just wiped. There is no more hope for you. As I'm thinking through this, and the seas, okay, but the rivers and streams, how long can the human body go without water? 3-4 days maybe, if your body is super hydrated before you start. That's why a part of this goes, I think this is just all culminating in intensity and speed towards the end. I don't think there's a long time between these things, because I don't think there can be. Sure, they're going to have some things stored up, probably. Big bottles of water they're passing around, but, you know, all that stuff in filtration systems that gets to, you know, once the water's out of there and through your home, it's not like they're pulling really good stuff in. Now, maybe. Science. At that point, they're able to take bloody, dead animal water in springs and make something of it, but I can't help but see this just all turning very hopeless very fast for people. And there's still people who don't repent and give him glory. Fifth angel, Diana, verse 10.
The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Its
Ooh.
Kingdom was plunged into darkness.
Ooh.
And people bit their tongues in pain.
So if the sun's able to bring this fire, then it just goes dark, particularly on this guy's kingdom. Whether that's a city or whether that's the 10 nations he represents, hard to tell. But they nod their tongues in anguish. There is sometimes you see people who go through a lot of distress. Mentally they get to where they chew on their tongue. Sometimes seizure patients will chew on their tongue. That's the idea there, is that it's just, I mean, anarchy and upheaval, and the human being is so distraught and destroyed and turned around that you just see them in a helpless, almost like erratic mental state. That's this picture. And still not repenting, okay? And they're still cursing God. Well, I think if there's people still there that are protected from these things, I think there's still a message to be said. So, yes, I still think there's opportunities, which is crazy in all this. You would think after the first bowl, everybody's like, okay, I get it. Woohoo! But you're down to the fifth bowl here. you know, and it's getting bad. Rick said this early on, and this is where I think it shifts when you see this. Because I read this, and I'm just like, come on, people. Come on. Rick said it early on. Let's say that's the end of time. He is faithful through all that. And he is so patient to gather everyone he called up until that last time. Now, life is at an all-time terrible point. Terrible spot right here. But just the fact that even in all this, there are still people standing on the sea of glass mixed with fire says something about what he wants, I think. And that is a hopeful message in Revelation when most people start going, what do I do? And they're like, I don't want to read it. It's like, oh, but there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Do you have another question back there? Sure. We'll come up for reasons for anything. The way I read 16 and the breadth and what it covers worldwide, it's going to be hard-pressed. I think there's going to be some people that are like, I think there's some people who are going to be hardened and be like, yep, it's all those people who used SUVs and had hairspray. You know, and scientific disease, you know, chemical warfare. Can you see a lot of the excuses that could come out right now in this? There's a genetic mutation in the water. You know, the ozone layer happens such a way. I could just see it. Yeah. And people being like, oh, okay. Okay. But when God's literally bringing everything and everyone to death, to bow by death or by destruction, let's hope and pray that people are responding. And man, I tell you what, this is not feeling good at where you're at. Turn the page. Almost done. Sixth and seventh are a little longer. he holds off judgment as long as possible. Okay? That doesn't mean he doesn't judge. He holds off judgment as long as possible. And so the sixth angel, let's see here. Danielle, sixth angel. Who's the dragon?
Question before you go on. What's the kings from the east?
If there's a 10-nation alliance that this guy's the head of, I think you're starting to see Jerusalem, Israel, Christians and or general, that area targeted. So I think there's going to be communication to bring them back because of what we see here at the end of this verse. So I think it's China, Middle East, maybe, of coming across there like, you know what, we're going to go end this. These people that are causing this, we're going to go end it. Okay?
And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of false prophets, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs to go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle.
Hold right there. Demonic activity is going to come out. First, you're going to see particularly Euphrates, which is interesting to me. Depending on your creation theory, where did it all start? Where did it all start? Yep. So you're going to have... Oh, hi. That's weird. So here's a basic world history geographically from the Middle East and beyond. What's this? You guys are good. You're going to do good on the test.
We know that from our house.
What's this?
Windy Ribby. The river. Hot dog upside down with the bite taken out. Okay.
That's the epicenter. That's the epicenter of religious tension in a lot of ways right now. Very strategic place to connect everything to the east, to Africa, Egypt down here, and to Europe. I mean, four highways run through it and stuff like this. Now, we're condensing down, okay? It's not to scale, so all you achievers. There was this garden, and out of it came two rivers. We learned about the Fertile Crescent. Does that ring a bell? It's all connected. Go back and read history. Different, right? There's two great rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. There's a guy, there's some faithful people during this time, Sarah, Abraham, Lot, Terah. But then there's a guy up here at Tehran. Terah dies, and yet one of his children has to make a decision. Who am I going to follow? Follow the God that's calling me or follow the gods of my people? His name was what? Abraham. Abraham. Okay? He's going to go all the way and travel through here and pass through that, have all kind of wonderful tales and different things, and he's going to die. But he's going to have children who do different things, and eventually there's going to be 12 guys come from there, right, that are what? The 12 tribes of Israel. What happens to the youngest guy? Get sold off over here. That's Genesis. All that takes place in Genesis. Exodus. Let my people go. Right? He comes out. He's in the wilderness here. They're going around. They're learning the law. They're learning all kinds of things. He's not trying to get them out of Egypt as much as he's trying to get Egypt out of them and say, you're going to depend on me. So exit. And by the way, I have a new way we're going to interact. Here's the law. Mountain, thunder, lightning, burning. Okay? And you have Exodus. And then there's Leviticus. Here's how dietary laws, moral laws, ceremonial laws are all going to work. Then you have Numbers. Let's take a census. Let's gather everything. Let's talk about how it's going to be organized here. Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos, the second law. And then, and this is all happening in the south in the wilderness here. There's times where people are like, I think that's the place we're going to be because there's a promise we have that. But there's no big giants in the land, right? I should teach kids this. Okay. When you get to Moab right here, a little city, the guy cannot go into the promised land because of his anger. Sin in his life caused him not to have a blessing. So yes, health and wealth, gospel people have it right to some degree. If you're faithful, God loves to give on that. But it's not about being healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay, that's not what it is. But being faithful for him who gives, he does take care of those who are obedient to them. Okay? Moab, Moses dies. Who steps up? Guy who had seen it all. Joshua's been around in this whole time. Okay? So then Joshua, through the prophets, you now have his conquering, first the north, then the south. Pretty soon they don't like a theocracy of God. They want kings like these other people. They didn't get rid of all the little people around here. And so sin and Baal and Asherah poles and sex worship and all this stuff's around. And so it's a mess. But at some time, they're going to divide. Okay, there's going to be a northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Jerusalem's right here. You're going to have kings that do this. Mostly bad, not very many good. And then meanwhile, over here in this land, and this is history, okay? This is history, not location. first is going to be this nation that's going to kind of rise up over time called Assyria. And Assyria is going to come in here and take this northern kingdom and just blow it up. Just blow it up. This is done. Okay, it is no more. Judah, the southern kingdom, or Israel, right? Babylon's going to overtake Assyria in time. They're going to come, scoop this up, scoop the remnant up, because it's all been pretty war-bent, hell-bent. And they're going to take those people back to Babylon. A couple guys prophesy, Ezekiel and Daniel this time. And then Persia comes in, right? And there's Babylon, you have the, you're going to have a return out of Babylon. Persia's going to come and overtake these people. Artaxerxes in the movie 300, if you've seen that movie. He's a Persian king around times of like Nehemiah and those guys that are going to lead different things. So Assyria, Babylon, Persia. The other time there's this whole European power, the Greco-Roman power that's coming up. And you see this eventually battle Persia and Greco-Roman. When they come in and clean up all that's been a mess forever, that's when your New Testament starts, when most of that has transpired. Okay? Now, it all began way back over here. And in the sixth bowl, this is going to dry up. and it says the kings from the east are going to march this way. You're going to see another power or set of powers, really from everywhere, coming to a little place up here. Okay? And I've been there, and it's awesome. So, Danielle, did you read six, half of it so far? So there's a demonic activity now, probably interacting to go make really good excuses to whatever technology's left press-wise to help people understand who the real problem is and what we need to do to get our world back together. World peace, all right? Okay. Keep. What's the what? Sun. Oh, darkness. You're right. Darkness on the kingdom, on the beast's kingdom. Such extremes right there. Do you see the imagery? The brightest of light that can burn to the darkest of dark that can cause despair. Extremes in those. All right, keep reading, Danielle. Darkness. The dragon. Well, that was from our time last week. Who's the dragon? Satan. Okay, and the beast and then his prophet, right? Out of the beast and the false prophet. So you see demonic activity, really, the head of all of that is Satan himself, but leading through those people to lead out these three unclean spirits that are going to assemble battle for a great day. 14 and on, Danielle. See that language? That's particular to me. He's going to assemble kings of the whole world to battle for the great day of God the Almighty. And then look here, 15, read that.
Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen.
It's as if he's writing down this stuff, and Jesus is like, but tell him this! You know, like he's like, death and bulls and judgment and sun. It's like, oh, but hey, tell him I'm coming like a thief. You know, you just get this interjection that's out of place. Because it's, how are you feeling in bowls 1 through 4? Ugh. You know, people gnawing their tongue. Ugh. But behold, what color in your Bible are those words? Who's that mean speaking?
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm like a thief. Stay awake. Keep guard. That he may, keeping his garments on, that he not go naked and about and be exposed. All right. 16. Har-Megiddo. Armageddon. There's going to be a place, and if it's the one we went to in Israel, where all those are going to assemble to wreak havoc on God's people, which in God's plan we're going to see is he's just really setting them up. You know, in chapter 20, it's like, sure, come on over, fix the world. And it's about to get on. But you see these, and you've been there, and it's one of those things to read this and go, huh? And then you've been there and go, oh, I could see it. I could see CNN here. And tanks of all kinds and troops of all kinds of whatever, all assembling there. That's possible. I could see where they come from because you look around and you see, oh, there's highways and pathways there from Europe and from the north here and even from the east or even from the south if they come up that way. Yeah, I could see it. Yo.
Can you say a few words on verse 15? That Jesus is clearly taking John back to
Matthew.
Matthew.
Yep. Be ready, churches.
They're all gone.
Be ready, people who are like, it's still a readiness. And just because they're gone doesn't mean that Revelation's not important. So as soon as the church goes, nobody needs to pull this out and make sense of what's going. I don't think so. I think it's still a readiness. I think it's still just be ready. Be ready about the timing of when he's coming back in 20. For whether Christians, a large sum of them go early and are taken up with him and caught up with him, or are still there, you need to be ready at this time for him. Because even if you're a Christian in this time that's going through the tribulation, it's hard. You're going to need something to hold on to. Yeah. So that battle place is coming, and you're going to see him do work. And you're going to see, actually, it's not even really a fight at all. You know, it's not. I think the bowl's about the river, so okay. That's probably
that, because that's really not what's being poured out. So that was made way back when. So I would say it's wrong. Because the judgment that is this river that we looked at dried up. That paves the way. A great river paid up. But there's a precursor to where they're assembling. So I can understand why that's there. Okay. Last one here. Jordan. Seventh bowl.
The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth.
Woo. Has that happened? Does that happen? Yeah, there was an earthquake. There's been tons of earthquake. Again, there's been lots of football games, but no Super Bowl. This is an earthquake that comes that's like, that since man was on earth, has never been. So great was that earthquake. Verse 19, keep going.
The great city was split into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away. And
time out. We'll get to that, Babylon, and what that means in 18 and 19 particularly. There's a lot of clarity that comes because of that use and who's it connected to. So 20.
And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe.
So you what's the last one say, Sean, there on your chart?
Complete destruction.
Yeah.
Complete. You remember how we talked about the bed sheet being pulled tight? You know, all the wrinkles are out, it's getting smoothed out. It's as if all creation is bowing down and the people in it. And just in case you're not gonna bow down and you still wanna look up, watch out. Yeah. I'm from Oklahoma. We get some sweet hail out there. I mean, you get little softball size hail on some of them. 3-4 pounds of ice just destroy cars. Looks like bullets went through them. Boom, 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 boom. Like, if your car's out there when those things hit, could be small pocket. I mean, dunzo. Glass breaking, metal denting, everything. 100-pound. 100-pound hailstone. 100-pound hailstone storm. Yeah, you're right, Elliot. There's only one thing to say. Sheesh. And the plague so severe. And I think it's, again, setting it all up. It's increasing in intensity and volume. And then you're going to see the return of the king. But that's not for a couple chapters, because now you're going to talk about prostitute, the fall of Babylon, 18 there, rejoicing in heaven and what that looks like. And then in 19, just flip over there. What's it say right before verse 11 in your little paragraph header? The rider on the white horse. Okay? Hang on. It feels bad today as we're closing in prayer. But ultimately, it's not going to be bad because he's coming back. Let me pray for us. And we'll be done. Father, thanks for this time. And we're heavy-hearted. We see your justice. We see your holiness. We see your might. And you deserve to be that because of who you are. You have every right to pour out whatever you want on creation because of who you are. And we do deserve judgment. We are grateful that there's grace and there's hope in Jesus, that you intervened because you first loved us and we didn't have a chance. And that gives us hope. And that gives us a message. That gives us good news to take to people so that they can have the same hope like we have now. So God, would you break us and give us compassion to the world around us? Would you help us be diligent for kingdom work until the last breath leaves us? And we'll look forward to a continued good work here as we see the culmination of history, and all of us are anticipating your return to make it right. Till we go to be with you, or you come back to get us, our hope and our aim is you until then. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.